Hey, what is up? Welcome to this episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. As always, I'm your host, Brian Lofermento. And I'll tell you what, in today's episode, we've got an awesome entrepreneur that, just like most of us, is fueled by impact. This is someone who is an example of being the change that we wish to see in the world. I'm so excited for you to hear his story. His name is Ryan Arioli. Ryan's commitment to serving his community and driving positive change has been a lifelong calling. In 2020, Ryan, because he wanted to see that change, he actually embarked on a political journey running for a state-level position in government, specifically within the South Carolina House of Representatives, thinking this was his best avenue to enact change, fueled by a desire to better the lives of those in his community. Despite not winning, though, his determination to make a lasting impact remained. Fast forward to 2022, so 2 years ago now, and the seeds of an idea began to take root, which is when Ryan started a nonprofit organization dedicated to effecting transformative change in his community. Motivated by a deep-rooted belief in the transformative power of education, he embarked on this journey to create a nonprofit that would make a lasting impact. With a passion for fostering personal growth and well-being, his commitment to empowering individuals and building stronger communities is the driving force behind the R&R Project's mission and initiatives, which Ryan's going to tell us all about here today. I'm so excited to hear all about it. Through innovative programs and compassionate support, Ryan strives to inspire hope and create a brighter future for all. So we're all in for a treat today. It's not very often that we have nonprofit founders on here today. That's why I'm so excited to hear from Ryan. So I'm not going to say anything else. Let's dive straight into my interview with Ryan Arioli. All right, Ryan, I am so excited that you're here with us today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great being here, Brian. Thank you for having me.
Heck yeah. So obviously, I tease listeners a little bit. I honestly am so excited for you to be here. It's not all the time that we have nonprofit founders on, but I think that that is such a shining example of being the change that you wish to see in the world. So take us beyond the bio. Who the heck is Ryan? How did you get into here?
All right. So yeah, you know, it all started with running for office. You know, 2020 was a very different year for everyone out there in the world. We had a lot of stuff going on. We had the pandemic. We had great political divide. We had this whole atmosphere that was just a change from what we were used to. You know, we were very divided. We had a lot of different thoughts on how we should fix things. So, you know, the pandemic really shone a light on education and how education is hurting, especially here in the state of South Carolina. We were trailing the nation on education. We poll last when it comes to our quality of education we give our students. So I'm not an educator, but I have friends who are teachers. I was coaching a middle school soccer team at the time, so I was getting the view from a coach's perspective, along with getting more information from, you know, people who were working at the school and I was working with. And there was just this need for something to be done in public education. You know, our teachers just don't get the support that is needed. And, you know, I've got a bachelor's degree in chemistry. I'm a first generation college student. So education is very important to me. I think it opens a lot of doors, whether it just be high school to college or just high school to the workforce. Being educated and having a good, solid foundation of education, I think it's important for us to be able to, one, contribute to society, have good lives that we feel like we're having an impact in. And so I decided to run for office. And my platform was bringing that resource to our teachers through the state level government. And that was my platform. And, you know, it didn't work out. So I'm still sitting there 2 years later going, I know I can make a difference. I know I can shine a light on this need and bring resources to this need, whether it's through the state government or not. Individuals can make a difference if we just strive to do so, if we just get past that fear of failure and just go for it. So I did. I started the process of starting the R&R Project, and the sole focus at the time was education. And it's branched out since then because there's so many other needs that go out beyond providing quality education to people. So we've, we're still working on building our board. We're working on getting our name out there. We're working on getting our donations coming in. So, it's been a building block, but what all started it was this view from educators and how the pandemic really made the struggle so much more noticeable in our public school system.
Yeah, I love that overview for so many reasons, Ryan. First of which is you mentioned the fear of failure, and that in a lot of ways, it can either drive us to move forward and do things that we wouldn't otherwise be comfortable with, or it can be the very thing that stunts us. And the other thing that I hear in your story that I think stunts way too many people or sparks amazing entrepreneurial stories in a nonprofit story like yours is a concept I heard of years ago from one of my favorite authors, Seth Godin, where he talked about the tyranny of being picked. And he said that there's so many occasions in life where we are victims of the tyranny of being picked. When we try out for a soccer team, we're hoping that somebody else picks us. When we're applying for a job, our application is one in a million, and we're hoping that they magically pick ours. We are at the mercy of being picked. And Ryan, I think you entered the ultimate tyranny of being picked by running for office. And that's extraordinarily difficult, of course, because you're appealing to thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people, depending on what the office is that you're running for. And with that in mind, I love the fact that when you weren't picked, you said, I'm going to pick me. And I think that's something that makes us as entrepreneurs and founders so different from the rest of society is that, Ryan, you didn't view your opportunity to make a change as I can make a change if I get picked. You then move forward, picked yourself, and now you're out there being the positive change in the world. Talk to us about the mindset behind that, because I'm sure there was a point after you didn't win your election where you were like, man, that's it. Like, that's the end of it. Or was that the spark immediately? Walk us through those mindsets. Set thoughts.
Yeah, so you get there, it's election night, and you don't win. So what do you do from there? So, and that was where I was at for a minute, was what do I do? I didn't win. I wasn't chosen. I didn't appeal to enough people that they wanted me to be their voice, be their change. So what do you do from there? And it took a couple months of just a lot of looking back at it, a lot of what could have gone differently. And then it goes into, well, do you make another run? Do you try it again? And, you look at it and go, you put all this effort in, and when you don't win, there's not much you get on the return. So it was more of a return on investment. I can invest all this time raising money, spending money, and then not get chosen again. Or I can flip that into something where, I can still invest that time of raising money. And then instead of investing that money into a campaign, invest that money into projects, which is what we're called, which is the R&R Project's namesake. But we fund different projects. So that's what started it, was what can I raise money for? And then what can I turn that money into? And that gave us the R&R, gave me the R&R Project. So it was literally after an actually great performance by the Carolina Panthers. I went to the game, and it was after that I was sitting there at dinner, and that's when I said, screw it, we're just going to do it. I'm going to start the process. So I started all the paperwork that night, filed it all the next day, and waited on the approval from the IRS and everything for the tax exempt status.
Yeah, I love that. Seriously, taking action. It puts a big smile on my face because that's the name of the game for entrepreneurs. And Ryan, it's funny how you say you sat in it for a minute. And of course, we all have a tendency to do that. And it's the right time to reflect, and it's the right time to take inventory. But then you rolled that straight into action. And one thing that I love about your story is you've already alluded to, it's constantly evolving. It's constantly growing. There's pivots and there's transitions along the way. You talked about your background as a chemist, and people are probably thinking, Ryan, Ryan, a chemist who's now the founder of a nonprofit who's out there doing community-based enterprise projects. Talk to us about those pivots, because I'm sure the R&R project from that very day, you know, going to the Carolina Panthers game to now today, you're in it, you've got projects. What have some of those transitions looked like? How has maybe your message, your mission, how has that pivoted versus the projects that you're actually tackling?
Yeah, so this isn't the first nonprofit I attempted to start. This is just the one that's been successful. Before this one, I tried to start one that was solely focused on education, and it just never gained the traction. I just didn't get there wasn't a spark in it for me to keep pursuing that one. So that one kind of fell off, and that's what kept me thinking, what led me to this one. But the pivot was, for me, is focusing more on education and social issues and community efforts. So, you know, making the pivot from chemistry to this, my background, yes, is in chemistry, but I also minored in political science while I was in college. So I already had this deep-rooted instinct to serve community. This I want to make a difference. And, you know, yeah, I was majoring in chemistry. I left. I got a job as a chemist. But, you know, I still wasn't getting that fulfillment. There was something missing, and that's what led me to run for office, was I thought that was the missing piece. That's what we were missing. And then I didn't win, and then it goes, I'm still missing something. Even if I would have won, I don't know if I would have still got that fulfillment. That was that missing piece. And then I started what was the River Foundation, which didn't make it out of inception, basically. And I felt something then. I was like, I think this is it. This is what I want to pursue. It just wasn't that concept. It wasn't that particular thing. So then I got involved with Rock Hill Pride, which is the Pride Festival for York County, basically. And it's completely independently funded and independently held. So they get no local support. It's done with private dollars. And I saw that and I go, well, you know what? You don't need the help from the state to make a positive change. So they're part of the R&R project now. Well, we will be supporting them. And it kind of, you know, it started growing from that. So the biggest pivot was going into trying to found a nonprofit, which didn't make it out of inception, to finding one that's made it out of inception. We've got a board, we've got all the stuff a nonprofit needs to be successful, and we're just working on, you know, our branding, getting our name out there, and getting support. So the biggest pivot was going from I need to do something because I'm not getting any fulfillment out of my career as a chemist, to doing something where I'm finally getting that fulfillment.
Yeah, I love that overview, Ryan, especially because it's kind of the way that you talk about both politics and the nonprofit world, which is, you said it a little bit earlier on in our conversation today, which is, how can I raise money and how can I spend money? Because ultimately, money makes the world go round. It's something that we hear so frequently. And the reality is, money, obviously, is just an indicator of how much impact we're able to make. Ryan, if you and I were sitting on $1 billion today, then there's a heck of a lot of good that we could do in the world right now. And so I think that this is a topic that so many people are afraid to talk about. Money has this evil connotation, but the reality is that it's also a positive impact for change, of course, when it's used that way. And so I think it's fascinating to get inside of your head and hear your attitude towards money, because as nonprofits, I feel like a lot of people want to just, you know, picture the Girl Scouts of America. I only say that because I just bought Girl Scout cookies last time I was at the grocery store. And with that in mind, like, we see kind of that feel good, you know, kids doing this fun thing on a Wednesday night, they get together and they do whatever it is that Girl Scouts do. And we forget that there's a whole business operation behind that. You talk about having a board. You talk about having the structure in place. Obviously, a nonprofit is not something that is loosey-goosey. In fact, I would argue that a nonprofit has even more business demands and strategic demands than for-profit, because there is that making side, but there's also that strategic impact and spending side. Walk us through that. For a lot of people who have always thought, maybe I do want to start a nonprofit, what's the psyche behind the business of a nonprofit?
Yeah, so the business side's a lot different than a for-profit company. I mean, you've got to bring in money. You've still got expenses like website, your email, all bank account, and payment processes, and all that good stuff. So you've still got the same. You've fundamentally got a lot of expenses a for-profit business has. The issue is, though, a lot of the work that we're doing right now is it's labors of love. We're not getting paid to do what we're doing right now, because my focus for this nonprofit is to get to a point where, yes, we will have paid members when we grow, but I don't want our business operations to exceed 25% of our revenue. So whatever we're bringing in, I want to make sure that 75% of that money is going back out into the community. So, which is a lot different than other nonprofits. Some have a different split, but mine's more driven on that community impact. I want to make sure that any dollar that comes in, the bulk of that is going back out into the community, into our projects. So looking at it at a business standpoint is, you know, you're recruiting people for me at this point. I'm recruiting people who are going to be doing this for free. And it's not a little bit of work. I mean, it takes a lot of work to get out there. It takes a lot of drive, and it's something you've got to be passionate about and you want to really do before you see a personal return. But, you know, the people I'm looking for are people who are not really concerned about seeing income from this. They want to make an impact. They want to put good out into the world. And so I'm taking it a little bit different than most nonprofits do. But my focus is to build a business that puts the majority of our dollars back out there into our communities and takes very little for ourselves. Because I want to make sure that we can run efficiently, effectively, and I want to make sure that we can have the most impact possible. And in today's world, the most impact is going to come from having the money to put back out there, whether it be in our teacher grants or book scholarships, or it be in our community fund that we're working with Rock Hill Pride for their side to give out micro grants and do community projects. If we can dump more money into that, that's more impact, that's more change, that's more stuff we'll be able to accomplish. So looking at our businesses, how can we maximize dollars donated and minimize what's going to cost us to raise those dollars and to keep operations going?
Yeah. Gosh, Ryan, the way you talk about this, I mean, I'm really excited to see the R&R project continue to grow into the future, because the way you talk about this is from such a, it's an impact driven approach. And I can hear that in your answers, because so many of your answers come back to the community. So many of your answers come back to the impact. And when you tie dollars into that, you're directly, it almost feels like you're detached from the dollars, because you view them as, I mean, I think you said the magic word that explains your thought process here, which is you view them as vehicles towards the projects. It's actually about the projects. The dollars are simply the enablers there. Talk to us about some of those ways, because a lot of people, that's where they get hung up. Whether they're a for-profit or nonprofit, they get hung up on how do I get money in the door? And I think that you've such an interesting perspective coming from the world of running for office. Obviously, we've all seen examples of how different politicians and candidates raise money there. But talk to us about your attitude towards and some of those strategies that you turn to when it comes to getting dollars in the door to actually fund those projects.
Yeah, so right now we are starting to ramp up that section. We're starting to focus on raising money. So we're using our personal connections in the world. So a lot of the two other members of my board, we're currently a member. We're a board of four. So three of those board members, including myself, are all part of the same fraternity. We're fraternity brothers. So we're using our fraternal connections and the connections we made during our time in college. And one is still a active employee of the national fraternity. So we're using those connections now to raise some money, because, you know, it's easier to ask for money when you already have a personal connection with somebody. And I don't think there's many personal connections out there quite like a fraternal bond that you have with someone. So we're using that as leverage now. So we're reaching out to ones that we know already give to the fraternity, and in turn asking them if they want to, hey, give us some money. You want us, you know, we're fellow brothers. This is our endeavor. Would you like to support us? So, you know, using your sphere of influence as a way to start the process and start donations. And then it turns into, how can you turn community events into fundraising opportunities? So I brought up Rock Hill Pride before. We'll be a sponsor of the event this year, and we'll be out there at the event as well. So it'll be a great marketing opportunity, and also be a great opportunity to raise donations, collect funds from there, because, you know, we've got a platform where we can take donations there on the spot, and we're not out there seeking right out of the bat $1,000 donation. You know, if you want to give us $5, if you want to give us 10 or 20, well, we want that, because small donations add up, and that helps you do stuff. It doesn't matter how small it is. Any donation is vital, and it's a pivotal donation, and it can help you change the way that you're doing, and it can help you fund those projects and make that change. And we also are going to promote monthly giving, whether it's you want to just throw us $5 a month. That's awesome. We'll take it, because, like I said, any donation is great, and every donation is important.
Yeah, really well said. And it's something that we hear on nonprofit commercials where they say every donation matters, but then tying that into your commitment to that operational expenses not exceeding 25%, it really does start to add up where every donation counts. And Ryan, I love the fact, I want to call it out for listeners. Listeners, how frequently do we hear it from guests? Ryan summed it up really eloquently with your sphere of influence. When you're right out of the gates, those immediate people that you already have connections with and that you can tap into your personal network. It's why we talk about so frequently your LinkedIn, your Facebook, your own personal social media, your own personal Rolodex. That's a great place to start. Ryan starting with his frat brothers. Like, that is an amazing place to start, because a lot of them are community driven, impact driven. So he's tapping into, as he said, that sphere of influence. I love that you use that term with us, Ryan. Along those lines, I want to ask you this, because obviously your mindset, you went from running for office to now making a positive community change through a nonprofit, through your own vehicle. Talk to us about what that's been like. You obviously have shared with us that one of the projects that you're supporting is Rock Hill Pride. What are some of the, I don't even know the right way to ask it, are there bureaucratic barriers that you have to break through? Are there bridges that you have to connect within the local community between organizations? Talk to us about what it actually looks like to, on your own, through your own nonprofit, go into the community and make those positive differences.
Yeah, so, I mean, the biggest difference from running for office and running a nonprofit is, running for office, you have to make sure your messaging aligns with enough people to get support. You know, you got to make sure your messaging aligns with a majority of the people so you can win, which means there's trade-offs. You know, you're going to give up stuff, and you're going to pick up stuff you don't really support because you want to gain voters. Now, with a nonprofit, that doesn't matter. You can build it exactly how you want. You can say what you want, and you can support what you want to do, because now you're driven by something you need to believe in and something you need to support 100% to make it successful. And what I've found out is that me doing what I believe in, me doing what I want to see, is what people want. It might not be it wasn't what voters wanted in my district, but by and large, it's what people want, what people want to support. So when it comes to making those connections in the community, there's no real bureaucratic red tape. You just got to know who to go talk to. So for Rock Hill Pride, since I already had that connection before starting this, and I was already one of their supporters, I just simply reached out to my contact and set up a meeting and said, hey, here's what I'm doing. I'm starting this nonprofit. I want to support you. What's the best way we can support you? And she went in to go and, you know, part of Rock Hill Pride is raising money to have the event. It's raising money. It's getting donations just to host the event. And she goes, you know, there's a missing piece that we don't feel like we're doing enough for community. You know, Pride's great. It's great for those who, like myself at one point, didn't see it and were afraid to be who we were because we didn't see it before. We didn't feel accepted. We didn't see it being accepted. So she's going, you know, this is very important. And it is. I support it 100% that it is important for people to see that it is normal to be a part of the LGBT community. It's normal to be, if that is who you are, it's normal to be that. And Pride shows that. But she goes on to say that the missing piece is we don't feel like we're doing enough to support the community outside of that. We raise money and we have a party, and that's what it feels like. So we talked, and I go, well, I think the best thing that we can do to help you is to establish a community fund that y'all will be in charge of doing for community projects or micro business grants for members of the LGBT community. And so, you know, it is easier to do what you want to do with a nonprofit, but you also have to know who to go to get those connections established and to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I almost want to say this is that, and I think you might agree with me here, especially since you've been in it, is that we have an unfair advantage. I actually think entrepreneurship, for-profit, nonprofit, whatever it may be, us being those driving factors, we actually can move way quicker than obviously the political sphere. I know a lot of people, you talk about 2020 was such a divisive year, and I would just say on the whole, politics has a tendency to be divisive rather than a force of unity. And so it's so cool that there are nonprofits like yours who can just say, you know what, this is what the people want. Maybe not all the people, but we're going to focus on the people that we want to serve, and we're going to go enact positive change. And I think that's so powerful. And along those lines, Ryan, as we come towards the end of today's interview, I have to ask you about your team, because I think it's so cool how much of an emphasis you put on the people behind the nonprofit. Obviously, that is such a powerful component of the impact that you're looking to make. I know that you've been looking to hire a director of communications. Talk to us about your methodology and what your maybe short-term and long-term vision is with regards to your team, the board that you've assembled, and really where you want to take this.
Yeah, so the board I've assembled, my chief operations officer is a fraternity brother from the time I was in college. We went in together. We graduated together. We were... I was president, and then he was vice president, and then he was president. And so, you know, we had leadership roles within that. We share a very common vision, a common set of goals. So when I started this, he was one of the first people I reached out to and was like, hey, I'm starting this. Would you be interested in coming on as my chief operations officer? Would you want to join me in this? And, you know, I went through the mission. I was looking to build, and he was all in. And he's been all in since he started. So that was the first one. The second one was another one of my brothers in the chapter who came in a little after me. He was actually my campaign manager when I ran for office, and he's now serving as our director of charitable giving. So I knew we had the same goals. We both wanted to see the same changes. Since, you know, he served as my campaign manager, so I brought him on. And then my CGO, my chief governance officer, I actually met her a little over a year ago now. We have season tickets to the Charlotte Football Club, and they sit in the section in front of us. And we met them. We hit it off. We've been good friends since. And, you know, she's got great energy. She's just a wonderful person who also wanted to do some good in the world. She just left education because of those things. You know, you're a teacher, you're underpaid, not really valued, and you're dealing with a lot, especially coming off the pandemic. So she left the field, and she's been looking to replace a missing bit, which is I don't feel like I'm doing enough good in the world. So I asked her to come on, and she's been a driving force behind us ever since.
Yeah, I love that. We're getting some bonus soccer references in here today, Ryan. You were coaching a middle school soccer team. You brought up Charlotte FC. Lots of cool references there that I'm totally digging. And I also want to squeeze this question in because I think it's so interesting to hear the way that visionary leaders and impact-driven leaders like you think. And looking forward, what is that roadmap? Because it sounds like you're putting the puzzle pieces together so intentionally at this point in your journey. What's that longer-term vision for you? How far out when you think about the R&R project, are you looking a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? What does that vision look like?
So, you know, I'm looking out 5 years. I think we'll be bringing in the money we need to fund all our projects in the amounts that I think they need to be funded. And I think maybe 5 to 10 years out, we'll be bringing in enough revenue that my board members will be full-time employees, and this will be what we're solely focused on. So, you know, the 10-year plan basically is to get us to a point where that my board members and myself, this is our full commitment. This is, we don't have to worry about a 9-to-5. We can focus solely on this, pay our bills, and do good in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll tell you what, I so often say it is that if you can dream it, you can do it. I love that Henry Ford quote, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And Ryan, meeting you and hearing you here today, I think this is a mission that we can all see you succeeding with and something that we can see you pushing on with. So I love hearing the way that you think about this, not only from a business perspective, but from an impact perspective. I think it's so powerful because you tie the two. And I think that's what we need more of. I'm obviously very biased, but I think that entrepreneurship is the force of change in the world. So I love seeing the way that you think about these things and push them together. With that said, I always love asking my guests this final question because I have no idea which direction you're going to take it in. And with so many listeners all over the world, maybe a lot of them are entrepreneurs, a lot of them are already entrepreneurs looking to grow their businesses and really be that positive force of change, whether it's in the nonprofit sphere or the for-profit sphere. I like to think all of us want to make this world a better place. So with all of that in mind, Ryan, what's the takeaway? What's that one thing that you hope every listener walks away from today's session thinking, you know what? That's a mindset shift for me, or maybe I need to think about that more, or maybe I need to do this thing more. What's that takeaway?
Okay, I'm going to leave it with another. I'm going to start with a quote from Ted Lasso, which is one of my top time favorite series. I think it's just got a lot of good messaging, but it's never stop, no matter how many failures. When you know you're doing what you're meant to do, you have to try. And I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, that one really gets me, because it's, no matter, we're going to get hung up on our failures. We're going to get hung up on a fear of failure that's going to prevent us from either doing it or taking the next step. And the biggest thing that I've learned is we learn a lot more from our failures than we learn from our successes. If I had been successful and got elected, the R&R project wouldn't have happened. If I had been successful with the first round of nonprofit, the River Foundation, the R&R project wouldn't have happened. And I'm way more passionate about the R&R project than I am about holding office, than I was about the River Foundation. So we oftentimes see failures as a barrier, as this is where I need to stop, when we need to push forward, when we need to keep driving, because, you know, failure is there for us to learn, and we need to learn from it, take what we learned, and then apply it to the next step. And the failures are what led me to this. So I look more at failures than I look more at my success, because I don't feel like I got as much out of that.
Yes, really well said. And another bonus soccer reference here with the Ted Lasso quote. Gosh, am I loving that here today. Ryan, I think it's such a poignant point from you there, which is failure is not the opposite of success. Failure is part of success. And I love the way that you've really illustrated with us on your nonlinear path, because for none of us, this has been a linear path. So I really love the way that you learn from every single pivot and turn along your journey, because it's all getting you exactly where you're supposed to be. So Ryan, I love those insights. I know that listeners are going to be keen to go deeper into your work. I'm also excited to follow your nonprofit's journey from here. So drop those links on us. Where should listeners go if they want to follow along with your work? If they want to make a donation, how can they keep in touch and stay in touch with you?
Yeah, so the biggest one is going to be our website, the rnrproject.org. On there, you'll find the links to our Facebook and Instagram, along with our contact information. And if you want to, we have a donation link on there as well.
Yes, listeners, you already know the drill. We are dropping down those links, as well as a link to Ryan's personal LinkedIn profile. So if you want to connect with him, thank him for coming on and sharing all of these thoughts with us here today on the show, then find those links down below in the show notes. Otherwise, Ryan, on behalf of myself and all the listeners, thanks for joining us here today on the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. And again, thank you for having me on.
Hey, it's Brian here, and thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. If you haven't checked us out online, there's so much good stuff there. Check out the show's website and all the show notes that we talked about in today's episode at thewantrepreneurshow.com. And I just want to give a shout out to our amazing guests. There's a reason why we are ad-free and have produced so many incredible episodes 5 days a week for you, and it's because our guests step up to the plate. These are not sponsored episodes. These are not infomercials. Our guests help us cover the costs of our productions. They so deeply believe in the power of getting their message out in front of you, awesome entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs, that they contribute to help us make these productions possible. So thank you to not only today's guests, but all of our guests in general. And I just want to invite you, check out our website because you can send us a voicemail there. We also have live chat. If you want to interact directly with me, go to thewantrepreneurshow.com, initiate a live chat. It's for real me. And I'm excited because I'll see you, as always, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here on the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast.